This is a story about my first car. My first car was a 1964 Ford Fairlane station wagon, bright red. I bought it in about 1971, but it was like brand new. The body was perfect. The upholstery, the interior were flawless. It really did look like a car that had only been driven to church on Sundays by a little old lady. About a year after I had that car, one fall day, Mike Carnes, Dion Medley, and I decided that we would skip school and we would go to Parkersburg to shop for an amplifier. We played together in a rock and roll band at that time, the name of which escapes me right now. But we did take the day off from school and we went to Parkersburg and did not buy an amplifier, which it turns out was a good thing in retrospect. Because on the way back from Parkersburg, we needed to take a restroom stop. And just between Beverly, Ohio and McConnellsville, Ohio on State Route 60, there's an American Electric power plant. And near that power plant, situated on the Muskingum River, is a roadside rest that everybody in the area calls the Ohio Power Park. So we stopped at the Ohio Power Park to relieve ourselves, and it was a fall day, and it was a bit crisp, and as I recall, kind of an overcast day. So I decided to leave the car running while we went to the restroom. When we came back out of the restroom, this was just sort of a outhouse kind of a restroom now, mind you. We were standing in a small circle gathered outside having a cigarette, and my back was to the road, and at some point I became aware that Mike Carnes was looking over my shoulder, and he said, "Your car." I looked around, expecting to see my car had maybe been stolen because I was foolish enough to leave it running, and I thought, oh my God, my car is gone. No, I turned around, and my car was still there, but it was starting to move. It was starting to roll away. Now, we were parked right on Route 60. In a little pull-off, so my first thought was my car was going to go out into the highway, and that would be a really bad thing. But it turned out that my car did not go out into the highway. Instead, it turned to the left and came down over an embankment into this little park that everyone called the Ohio Power Park. And as it started down over this embankment into the park, I started to get motivated to do something about it. So I started running after the car. And I remember at some point in this pursuit that I thought, what will I do if I catch the car? Because the car was definitely picking up speed. It had lots of momentum and it was headed toward the Muskingum River. And I realized that if I just caught up to the back of the car, you know, it was going to be one of those cartoon scenes where I was holding onto the bumper and the car was just going on and I was trying to stop it like Fred Flintstone. I think at some point I slowed down in my pursuit. I knew there was no way I could get to the door and get the door open. And there were lots of obstacles in the park. And I had hope that one of these obstacles would stop my car, that it would come between my car and the Muskingum River. Well, it successfully avoided every obstacle in the park. As if someone were behind the wheel, it veered around every tree, every barbecue, every picnic table except one. It kind of clipped the corner of one picnic table and knocked the bench off. These were concrete picnic tables with wooden benches, and it just knocked the bench off. And finally, there was one tree left between my car and the Muskingum River, and as I saw that it was going to miss that tree, naturally my heart sank. And as it turned out, so did my car, into the Muskingum River. So I ran to the river's edge and I looked over and saw my car submerged up to about the bottom of the windows on the car doors. So the whole top of the car, including the windows, was sticking out of the water, and of course the engine was running. I thought, well, it could be worse. It must be on a sandbar. There'll be a way that we can get the car out of the river and it won't be all bad. And about at that very moment, the car upended like the Titanic and sank out of sight, gloop, 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 into the Muskingum River. nothing visible from the surface. Across the river was a fisherman in a small rowboat, just laughing his ass off. He, from clear across the river and with the noise of the power plant droning on in the background, I could still hear this guy laughing and I could see him slapping his knee. And I was panicked. I ran back up to the highway. I ran up to the roadside and obviously Dion and Mike saw what had happened and they knew that we needed help. So we went up to the roadside and we started trying to flag down a passing motorist to give us some help. Now, we were hippies. And there was no way that someone in rural southern Ohio was going to stop and see what three crazed hippies waving their arms on the roadside needed. Eventually, the fisherman comes rowing over. He made his way over to the bank, and he's still laughing hysterically about what happened and saying things like, "My God, she went down, didn't she? I didn't ever see anything. Like, I went right in the river and it just bloop, 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 right down." And I was not amused by any of this, but we did get a ride from this guy. He took us down to Beverly, to the nearest small town. And there was a, as there were in those days, several filling stations, and more than one of them had a tow truck. And so we got a fellow that had a tow truck and told him that my car was in the river. I don't know why, but he agreed to go up and try to get the car for us. So we went up to the park in his tow truck, and he backs down into the park, and he walks down to the riverbank and looks over, and I guess at that moment had an epiphany that the car was in the river, and he was going to have to somehow get his tow truck hook out into the river to retrieve the car. And he said at that moment, "Well, I'm not going out in there." And, you know, he realized that it was submerged, and he said, "I'm not going into the water." And of course, none of us wanted to go into the water. We had a brief period where we all contemplated one another and what we were going to do about my car in the river, when along came Paul Krapps and Wally Wallace. They just happened to be driving by, and they saw all of us, Mike and Dion and I, recognizing us. They pulled over to see what was going on. You know, the tow truck was there. And we explained the situation to them. And they volunteered to go out into the river. This was kind of a thing that Wally and Paul would be likely to do, to volunteer to go into the river to retrieve a car. So they said they would go out and hook the car for the guy. So they did. They took off their shirts and shoes and whatever and got in the water. And the guy tosses the hook down, and they're treading water, and they can sort of feel the top of the antenna with their feet between their toes. You know, they could find where the car was. So they swam out with the hook from the tow truck, and they lowered the hook down, and there's a lot of kind of fishing and grappling, and then the thumbs up, and the guy puts the winch in gear, and it struggles and strains, and up comes the door handle. So back again they go, out with the hook and struggling to grapple and grasp, and finally get something hooked, and up comes a piece of the grill. So after one or two more attempts of that nature, it was obvious that the car was going to come up a piece at a time because of the weight of the water on the car. Now they decided that a better plan was to make a lasso out of the cable from the tow truck and try to lasso the car. So they started to execute that plan, creating the lasso and whatnot, but meantime, quite a sizable crowd had gathered along the road and in the little park, because there was a tow truck, there were a lot of people standing around looking into the river, and then once you had one car stop, another car stops to see why that car stopped, and so on and so forth. And we had a pretty good-sized crowd gathered. It looked something like a small county fair. Well, when a crowd of that size gathers, of course, a state trooper stops by. So a state trooper comes down to get to the bottom of this situation, and I'm talking to the state trooper, and he wants to know what the situation is. I said, "There's a car in the river," and he wants to know if there are people in the car. And I said, no, of course, no people. We're all here. We're fine." And because I think there were rumors about, you know, it was a station wagon in the river with a family, and maybe these hippies were involved or something. And as the evening wore on and Wally and Paul were increasingly unsuccessful in retrieving the car, the state trooper at one point thought I should just leave the car in the river. Remember, this was fall, and he wanted to go squirrel hunting, and we were losing daylight, and I remember him saying, well, why don't you just leave it in there? And I said, well, isn't that somehow illegal? And he thought about it for a moment, and he said, no, I don't think so. And I said, you mean, like, not even litter laws or something like that? It's not illegal to leave a car in the river. No, I think it's fine. You could just leave it in there. Well, about that time, Wally and Paul, with their new lasso design, had hooked the car. They had it snared. And with a great deal of effort on the part of the tow truck, it finally came slowly up out of the river, full of water, of course, draining out of it everywhere. And everyone on the bank, of course, relieved that there was not a family inside the station wagon, and the crowd dispersed. And the tow truck driver asked what I wanted to do with the car. Now, it so happened that nearby this power plant, a good friend of mine named Dennis Huck had a farm. Dennis and I played music together. He was a bass player in a couple of bands that I played in, and he was also about the best mechanic I'd ever seen or heard of. Dennis worked for the National Guard Armory and maintained all of their motor pool stuff, trucks, jeeps, tanks, you name it. And then he had worked or was working for a while in the coal mine. He was a mechanic out there and did the same. I mean, he was just absolutely the best mechanic ever. So I told the tow truck driver to take the car to Dennis's farm, which is what we did. And I explained the challenge to Dennis, and he truly took it in that spirit and thought, well, this would be fun to see if we could ever get this car to run again. In that process, we drained all the motor oil out of the crankcase, and we were trying to get all the mud and muck and all the river water out of the engine as best we could, out of the transmission and all the gearboxes. And Dennis said that we should run some kerosene through it to clean all that stuff out, because kerosene, you know, was a little oily and it would keep things lubricated, but was a good cleanser. And he's the mechanic. We did that. We cleaned the engine block out just as clean as we could get it. And Dennis was eager to try and get the engine to turn over, because he was concerned that the hot engine plunging into the cold water, there would have been some seize up and it would never turn over. So we had all the spark plugs out and every other hole in the engine was open for this stuff to come back out. And Dennis says, well, get in there and see if it'll turn over. Let's see what happens, see if it's locked up. So I get into the car and I hit the ignition, and those spark plug wires laying on the engine block with all of that kerosene ignited immediately, whoosh, into a big fireball. So Dennis and I jump out and we grab feed sacks and we're beating the fire out. And finally, we extinguished the blaze. And the car indeed was returned to operating condition, but with a very bad smell. It had this really bad, dirty river water, dead carp kind of smell that was really quite overpowering. And I hadn't really been able to get it out with normal means. So one day, a few weeks after I got the car running again, I decided to really take some extraordinary measures. I took the seats completely out of the car. I took all the carpet out of the car. I took it, laid it outside, scrubbed it good, laid it in the sun to dry. I decided I would take the car without the seats and carpet to the car wash and use the high-pressure hose to wash out the interior of the car to really get it good and clean, the headliner and all that stuff. So I put a lawn chair into the car, which of course is about a foot higher than you would normally be sitting in a car. My head sort of scrunched up against the ceiling of the car and cocked over to one side so I could see out to drive. I took the car downtown and hosed it out really well. Brought it back, put the seats and carpet back in, and it still smelled like dirty river water and dead carp. So I decided I would trade the car off, which I did. I took it to Balderson Dodge up on Maple Avenue in Zanesville, and I traded it off for a Dodge Charger, a muscle car. And about a month or two after I had traded off the Ford Fairlane station wagon, I received a letter in the mail from the Ford Motor Company. And in the letter it said that they had traced the automobile, the 1964 Ford Fairlane station wagon, red, to me, and that I should be aware that that car had a defect in the transmission which would make it prone to pop out of park when it was sitting idling and to be in between park and reverse and effectively in neutral, allowing it to roll away freewheeling.